Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. It's Trina Mara and the comedian Chris Kent is in. Hiya, Chris.
Hello.
Nice
I'm
to
great.
See. I've never met you in person. We've spoken on the phone many a time.
Okay, right.
So
I was trying to figure out actually earlier, was I in here before?
No, and you have to pretend that you know them. Well, good to see you. Never saw you before. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Trina.
And I know you're starving, God love you, but look.
I know.
Yeah, you didn't plan this out very well.
No, I didn't. No, sure. Look, it's fasting, isn't it? Intermittent fasting.
Fasting, yes, because we're in Lent,
and
of course.
And it is where I forget.
That's right. Look, you're coming to Vicar Street.
I am.
Is this your first time doing Vicar Street or have you done it before?
It's my third time this show. So,
wow.
Yeah, so we added on another one, so I'm absolutely buzzing about that.
Yeah.
So get to do it once is amazing, but three times.
Because, I mean, for comedians, Vicar Street is really a great, it's the venue you want to be at,
it's a big
isn't
deal.
It?
Everyone wants to do it. Everyone wants to put their own show on there. And it's, yeah, I'm very
lucky. Do you remember your first time? Were you absolutely cacking it?
Oh, bricking it. Yeah, yeah. I was opening for PJ Gallagher the first time.
Never heard of him.
So, and it was a long time ago. But yeah, to be able to do it on my own now is amazing.
So this, I'm just looking here and it says, Corkman, Chris Kent returns with his brand new show, Back At It.
That's right.
After a dose of the real world.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you have
a
dose of the real world?
I did, a couple of years of it, yeah.
What happened?
So I went from being a comedian back to being, obviously everything went away. So I went back and got a day job back as an electrician for a couple of years.
Lock the doors. Don't let this man out of studio. We finally have an electrician. Electricians do not answer my call, Chris.
I know, we're terrible. I was kind of industrial as well. I was on building sites, I wouldn't have been doing the houses, so I'd be useless to you.
So this is him trying to get out.
I'd be useless to you, unless you want a bit of big cable tray around your
front room. I should have suggested that we do this interview in my house and then just trap you in, get all the jobs done.
People, yeah, it is kind of, people like payment. They like me to do jobs when I come and stay with them, you know? I don't mind doing it. If it's something handy, I'll do it,
You're probably one of these people who's brutal at doing your own home, are you?
Exactly, yeah. The switch is broken on the landing still. I'll get round to it, but
at some stage,
I promise.
So you went back and you were on the building sites again?
Yeah, for 2 years, yeah. Right. And I'd been 12 years off it. So I'd been 12 years doing comedy full time.
Oh, my God.
And did that for 2 years. And I slowly the gigs started coming back. We were allowed gigging car parks and stuff like that.
That's kind of brave. Yeah. I mean, it needs must and all that.
It was. It was actually the most, you talk about nervous, doing Vicar Street. I was never as nervous as I was going back on a building site. For the first time in 12 years. It was a long time away from it, you know?
Yeah.
But that was the most nervous I can remember being in a very long time. But luckily enough, it ended up being amazing. A couple of weeks into it, I was flying. It was like I never left. And it was actually kind of hard. It was actually kind of hard, really, giving up the job to go comedy full time, you know? But obviously, I prefer doing this.
They make a lot of money, don't they, electricians?
They do, yeah, exactly. That's why it was hard.
He's looking out the window here. There's plenty of building work going on across
is there?
The road.
Yeah,
there,
I walk past a few electricians on the way in, yeah.
Yeah, they just made $3,000 this morning and they haven't even had their tea break
exactly.
yet.
Exactly, time to go for a scone now.
So then when the gig started coming back in again, you put that to bed, did you?
Well, I was looking for a house. Myself and my wife were looking for a house. I had a mortgage off the back of a serious job being an electrician, but that just wasn't really working out. And I found myself doing, the gigs started coming in more and the electrical work started going up. So everything was getting very hectic,
busy.
And I have two kids at home as well. So everything was going crazy. And then it was just kind of, my wife actually, weirdly enough, was the one saying, you need to give your job up and go back to what you want to do and go back to what you love doing. And she encouraged me to go back to comedy full time. And I went back and here we are.
And she gives the seal of approval. You're handing in the notice that day nearly.
I would know. To be honest, it took a bit of convincing because I was afraid to let it go. I was afraid to go back to comedy full time. And it took a good year anyway of her convincing me. And then eventually I went, okay, let's go for it again.
I love all the stuff that you put up on Instagram, the little clips of your shows. It's a great place to actually get a little taste for what you do, isn't it? Especially the story about your dad and the drink and the porch.
Oh, yes. True story as well, by the way. True story.
Can you tell us the story?
Okay, I could try. Yeah. So this is the one about, my dad. Not blaming the drink, I suppose, isn't that? What it's all about.
Yeah.
Some people will do anything not to blame the drink. You know, they'll go out and have, they'll be dying sick the next day, but they'll think it was a curry or something they had.
Tummy bug, exactly. Yeah.
Well, my dad basically got so hammered one time, he came home and he ran through our front porch, really ran through it, right through the glass doors. Did not blame the drink. Said to my mother that it's because we haven't had the porch that long.
He forgot he had a porch,
as you do, but he remained so calm about it, which is what I remember. And obviously there was an ambulance called. He was quite injured. And he was saying if I wasn't drinking, I'd have been even more agony, you know.
So it helped with the pain.
It helped as well. He was standing up for it in many ways. And the paramedics turned up. And my mother said, would you have a word with him? He's drinking too much. And he's not taking acknowledgement, I suppose. And the paramedics were working on him. I'll never forget it. And they were like, you know, you need to give the alcohol a bit of a break. Give your wife an awful fright. You broke the porch. They said, to be honest, George, you're lucky you're wearing the jeans because they start to save your legs. He was wearing jeans and a T-shirt and upper body was quite injured. And he says, oh, yeah, I better get a denim jacket, so I suppose. So that was kind of his thinking around it, like, you know.
Right. He has an excuse for everything then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my mother had a great version of that story as well, because he came in and gave her such a fright because he smashed through the porch, you know. And she was in the kitchen and he just walked into the kitchen and he said, come here, you're not going to believe this now. Some fella's after breaking your porch.
He tried to blame on someone else.
He was trying
to
blame on someone else. He was there dripping in blood, standing in the kitchen. But
tell it to the judge.
Yeah,
I was looking at only there recently. I'm not going to say who the person was. My husband was showing me a video the lads had sent around, and it was of one of the mates who had been captured on his Ring doorbell coming in from a night out.
Yeah, falling over.
And
probably,
it took him a good 6 minutes to find the key.
Yeah,
the keyhole. And it was in the window. It was down the letterbox. Yeah. It was everywhere. And you're going, oh good God.
Yeah, it's hard. You never remember when you're like that. That's the problem.
And the problem with those Ring doorbells, they capture the time you're coming in at and the state you're coming in at.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it progressively gets worse the later you get in.
Or at least disable it if you don't want people seeing when you're the times you're coming in. So come here, you mentioned there PJ, other comedians. Is it kind of very friendly that you're all kind of you pal around together, or is
it's supportive enough actually, the Irish scene, to be honest. But now that I'm out on tour, I'm kind of, it's just myself really a lot of the time. And my support act, who is Cornelius Patrick O'Sullivan. But I do bump in, we all do festivals together then once a year, and I love that. So you go to the Cat Laughs or the Ivy Gardens and you get to see everybody.
Yeah.
Catch up with everybody.
Is it draining doing the festivals though? Because, you're just go.
Every day, No, it can be, I mean, I did, like Edinburgh would be the most draining.
I've heard about Edinburgh. You feel like you're going to die by the end of that. Yeah.
The Cat Laughs and stuff is great. And they're like everyone's doing 20 minutes running around and having a great time. And you're only there for 2 days. So, but the Edinburgh is every single day. It's a slog. You're doing an hour.
Did somebody tell me that you're kind of out promoting your own shows
you're
as well?
You're flying in.
You're trying to get people to come to your shows.
Flying in the rain and, you know what I mean?
God, that brings you down a peg, doesn't it?
Being told to F off just before you go in and do your show. So, really great for your building your self-esteem, I suppose.
Yeah. Someone said to me they started questioning their life decisions.
Yeah, you would.
During
that
time.
Yeah.
But what am I doing?
It's a great place to go and write a show. So you're doing a show every single day for an hour. And you're reworking it every day. And then you bring it back to Ireland and you bring it to the likes of Vicar Street and all around. Do you know what I mean? So it's like a gym almost for us. We go in, we're writing every day. We're doing our show every day. We're fixing jokes, you know, writing new jokes. And I love it. I genuinely love it.
Because are there comedians that have other people writing their jokes for them?
I think so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Great. It'd be great, wouldn't it, if you could afford that?
I know.
Nah, but you couldn't. I wouldn't be able to do it.
No,
I wouldn't
be
able to deliver.
You have to be able to know the story. And
I think it more lends itself to one-liner comedians and stuff like that, where they'll go on a panel show and they say, okay, I need 6 jokes about the news this week. So you tell, can you know what I mean? And then all the people will go away and write jokes for them.
Yeah.
And that might be an easier thing to do, because for a panel show, they go on to a certain topic and it's like, oh, you know, the such and such was in the news this week, and then you have someone's have to write a joke for you. Like, you know, I've never had it, but I've wrote jokes for stuff like that. But
have you?
Yeah,
for what shows?
No, just back in the past for panel shows, just topical stuff, like, you know. So.
Very good. I'd be brutal though, because I'd probably forget the punchline and the whole thing would be destroyed.
It is difficult.
Has this ever happened to you, by the way? You've been halfway through a joke and then you've gone, oh God, my mind has gone blank.
Do you know what has happened to me? In the very beginning, that used to happen. Luckily, it doesn't happen anymore. But when you do multiple shows in a night, and with this tour that I'm doing now, I'm lucky enough that there's been a few incidents where I've done 2 shows the same night. So when I'm doing the second show, sometimes I'm like, oh my, did I say
that or not?
Did I say this already? Or sometimes, like, because you set things up along the show, so you might say something in the first 10 minutes that set something up, you know, 40 minutes later, callbacks, and you're like, oh, you're coming to the 40 minute mark, and you're like, I can't remember now if I've set it up or I can't remember.
God.
Then you just go for it and they laugh anyway. So
you hope for the best.
Say it with enough conviction.
Yeah. Do you pick on the audience?
I wouldn't say I pick on them, but I do crowd work now. which I never did before, but I hosted a comedy club. I opened two comedy clubs since I went back full time, I said. And that's where I was an MC. So you're talking to them the whole time. And if they say something funny, definitely I'll punks on it if I can. So I do that crowd work. I wouldn't say I pick on them, but I try and make it a funny situation, you know.
Yeah. The people who sit in the front row probably want to be picked on, would you say?
I think so, yeah. A lot of the time, especially if they booked tickets early and stuff, they want to be talked to.
Yeah.
But I never used to talk to people at all. I used to just walk up and do my show and that was it. But now it's just something I'm trying to get better at, I suppose. Go out and have a chat with the crowd. And
you never know what might happen.
And it just happens. Yeah. And it's all about the clips that you're talking about on Instagram. Sometimes something lovely happens and it's improvised and it's like it's a perfect little clip that you can put out and more people follow you.
And the people who get up out of their seat to go to the toilet as well, like they're not safe.
No, they're never safe.
So the key is you need to be going, even if there's a queue beforehand, you need to be going to the toilet before you sit down.
Get it down, yeah. And you know, get your drinks kind of, try and calculate when you're going to need it. Because I myself, when I'm at a show, actually, even when I really need the toilet, I really try my best not to go because I hate missing anything. You know, if you're at a gig or a concert or a play or anything, you're going, I really don't want to miss anything now. So I'd rather sit there uncomfortably holding it until the final curtain.
Giving himself bladder infections.
Yes.
Right, Chris, what is the Instagram that... It's Chris Kent Comic.
Chris Kent Comic, yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Right.
So have a look at his Instagram there.
And it's all different as well, sorry, in the show. So it's none of that. It's a brand new show.
So, if you've seen the clips there, it's completely new stuff. But it will give you a little bit of a taste of what Chris is about, though.
Yeah.
Cork as well. You're not leaving Cork out.
No. We've just added a seventh night at the Everyman Theatre, which is incredible. So it was well worth the risk in the end to go back full time. And it's all over the country, all on my website, chriskencomedy.com.
Yeah. And by God, the electricity better be working that night, otherwise Chris might be fixing it.
Yeah.
What are the dates, by the way, for the Everyman?
Oh, the Everyman is the 12th of July. That'll be, and there's loads more dates up to May all around the country.
Thanks for coming in. Chris Kent is going to be at Figure Street 25th of April, the extra date there. And hopefully we'll see you again.
Thanks so much, Trina.
Cheers,
great to pop in.
It's Ireland's Classic Kids Radio.